Amen. Cool, guys. I'm so excited to be here tonight. And I really have this expectation that the Lord is gonna, he's really has a word for you tonight. As you can see, as my title, hashtag the storm must fall. As we've been looking this week of all the fees must fall and everything must fall, I believe tonight the Lord wants the storm to fall in our lives. Do you agree with me? Yes, amen. So, just quickly turn to the person next to you and say, I love that smile on your face. Yeah, so this week was a bit, who can agree with me, it was really a bit hectic on campuses as we saw all the gates. I was there on Wednesday morning. I went to campus to do have a meeting there. And then I couldn't get out of campus the rest of the day, almost until 1 o'clock. I was stuck there on campus, and that was quite a bit hectic, but it was good. I used my time also effective, but I just saw like how that incident, really provoked lots of fear in people's lives. And if you can look back at all the the protest that was happening, all of that was provoked by fear. It was motivated by fear, ne? It wasn't motivated by love. It wasn't motivated by peace. It was motivated by fear. And where does that come from? Fear does not come from God or chaos or disorder or confusion. It doesn't come from God. He's not the author of that. So it comes from the enemy. And it really struck me this week, how if lots of people come together and the motivation of your gathering is not God, and it's not the peace or the love of God, then how that can influence each other. And I thought the other day, this literally can lead to a national disaster. I was afraid. I told the one person, I hope the working people also don't start to strike, because then then everyone will strike. And the possibility for that was so, there was a possibility where everybody was just like, okay, this ANC must fall, so now everything is just falling, and I'm not going to work anymore, and I'm just going away. But in the midst of this, the Lord just spoke to me, and we had a storm this week, ne? Who agree with me? It was a storm. If you haven't seen the news, it was really hectic, fire and stuff. But the Lord just took me back to the passage of Jesus in the boat with his disciples. And I want to read that this evening. And I trust the Lord really wants to come and define us tonight. He wants to come and take us from that glory to that glory, where we'll walk out of this place and say, Lord, next time something like this happens, how am I going to react? What will motivate me? So let's open our Bibles. If you have your Bible here, I want you to open in Mark chapter 4. Okay, Mark chapter 4. Everybody say Mark chapter 4. Cool. Alright. From verse 35 until 41. So, we read. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. Now we all know the story, eh? I've read this story from when I was a small boy. We heard this story, and a few things really struck me this time than when I read the story, eh? Now, if you go back to that passage, you see firstly, Jesus came back, just to give you a background. He was just after he had did the Mount, where he had all the teachings, né, where he said all the good things to the people. What name is it? The Sermon on the Mount. Thank you, Alistair. So he just had the Sermon of the Mount. He's really exhausted. He wants to get away from all the people. And then he said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. Because on the other side of, it was the Sea of Galilee, there were lesser people. There was not that many people. So he just said, okay. Jesus also got exhausted, né? And that's why he got in that boat to go to the other side of the lake. So yeah, now you can imagine, just picture in your mind. Okay, here's all Jesus and his disciples on this boat, and they're going to the other side of the lake. They say it's about 12 kilometers to the other side of the lake. So it's they didn't have big engines and speed boats those days, so they had to take the wind. Yeah, they had the wind and those stuff. And I was there and in Israel at the Sea of Galilee, and it's really beautiful. And I slept there on the shore, and it was amazing for me, just that realization to walk here and to know that Jesus also was here. His feet was here, and he was on this water. Okay, anyway, so now all the disciples and Jesus, they were in this boat, and they're going to the other side of the lake. And as they were going, Jesus, he said, okay, probably he said, well, guys, listen, I'm really tired. I'm just going to take a nap. And someone brought a pillow with, so Jesus could take a nap. Did you see that the scripture says that Jesus slept on a pillow? Okay? So that was quite, maybe they planned like, okay, Jesus is going to nap now because he's tired. So maybe Peter or John said, well, I'll take the pillow with so that Jesus can nap on the pillow. Okay. So they went on their journey to the other side of the sea. And then suddenly a massive storm just broke open. Now, this wasn't just a cute wind that was blowing like we heard last night. That was quite a hectic wind, ne? You agree with me? Now, this wind, the Greek word actually refers to this as a hurricane, ne? The boat was literally busy breaking, and water came into the boat. And these disciples, remember, most of them, they were fishermen before they became disciples. So they were used to be on the sea, ne? They were used to be on a boat and when the wind comes and stuff. But this time, it was different. This time, this wind wasn't just any wind. So now you can imagine. Now imagine all the disciples. They were like, yeah, must we wake up Jesus now? You know, he's so tired. I don't think I can wake him up. Maybe we must just paddle faster and just get out of the wind. And just imagine, maybe John and Peter were like, yeah, I'm so scared. Look at the water. Look at the wind. I'm going to die now. We really have to wake up Jesus. So eventually, Jesus, he was really tired because the wind and the storm didn't wake him up. So then the disciples went to him, and they said, Jesus, wake up, wake up. And then Jesus woke up, and then we know that he spoke. He just spoke to the wind and the storms, and he said, silent, be still. And immediately, all the wind and all the storm was gone, immediately. And then Jesus turned around, and he spoke to his disciples, two very important questions that I want to ask us tonight also. He said, why were you afraid? And then the next question, he said, do you still have no faith? And I believe that these two questions was two massive questions for their disciples, because just after that, the disciples said, surely this man, nay, they were terrified. And they ask him, who is this man? Even the wind listens and obeys him. So in this story, guys, we can see lots of things. We can learn so much out of this story and out of this parable. And I want to start by, I want to start by the first thing that I believe the disciples, they had a storm inside. It wasn't the storm outside that bothered them, but it came by the storm. But before you show that scripture, you can just listen. It started in the storm inside of their lives. They were in this boat, and what happened? Lots of fear came to them. They were fearful because now, yes, look at this storm, look at these waves, I'm going to die. And I was teaching at Bible school, and I really want to encourage you guys to do Bible school next year, but I was teaching at Bible school about setting the captives free. And then I discovered one thing that I knew, but I forgot, but it's not always the devil that is the enemy in our life. He's not always the only enemy in our life. We are, most of the times, we are our own enemy in our lives. Okay? Why do I say that? Because the devil does not, he cannot create thoughts in our life. He can only copy. So if you have a fear, if you have the thought of fear, the devil will take that thought and he will copy it in your life. You know? You understand? So we, most of the times, we are the people that allows the enemy to bring thought into our life, to bring thoughts of fear, thoughts of anxiety, thoughts of lust, thoughts of depression, all of these thoughts of anger, and we allow it into our life, and what happens? We entertain that thoughts. Ne? Because we don't know how to handle these thoughts, so we entertain it. So let's say you have a thought of fear. What you do is you get this thought of fear, and then you go to your friend and you say, "Oh, Yoni, I have this thought of fear." And she then goes, "Yes, I also have so much fear in my life." And what do? You play with that thought. Nah. And what happens then? Eventually, that small little thought of fear becomes this massive thing where you have anxiety in your life and you need to go to a doctor so that he can prescribe tablets for you for anxiety. Nah. And you laugh, but this is what Scripture says. This is what Scripture says. And I was hit by this again when I thought about it on Bible school. Because Scripture is so clear about this. When that small thought comes, when that suggestion comes from the enemy, that suggestion to, let's open my phone now and watch pornography. If you don't take that thought immediately captive, what happens? You entertain that suggestion and then you fall into sin. And that leads to your conscience becoming hard and soft of go away. And that leads to a hardened heart. Let's look at Scripture. It says, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. Okay. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Then this, "bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now in our lives, we have lots of stuff, ne? Our minds is busy always, ne? And just quickly think of all the thoughts and all the ideas and all the stuff that you had in this day. Many of them isn't from God. And now we read here in Scripture what we must do these things. Yeah. So the example that I used about the fear. Now let's say practically, because this is something very practical that we as Christians need to start exercise in our lives. All right. Who wants to do this? Who wants to exercise this? Okay, no one. Okay, I'll go. Thank you. Bye. Okay, now, we need to take authority that Jesus has given us around the thoughts in our life. We have to say, okay, let's say there comes a thought of fear. Ne? Just before your exam, you go to the exam room and there's this massive thoughts and of fear and anxiety. Now, this Scripture says we have to take that thought, what? Captive. Everybody say captive. Captive. So that literally means like when there's somebody coming in your house, there's a thief, what do you call? You call the police and they come to catch that thief. And then they put that thief, they put him in a jail. Nay. Nay. And then that thief is sentenced. So that's exactly what we can say. The Scripture refers to. When that thought comes, you have to take that thought captive, ne? Then you have to put that thought in a cage, almost. And then, to break that thought in your life, you have to bring the Word of God over that thought. And then, that thought has been broken in your life. Let's say for fear. a thought comes of fear in your life, what the scripture says, we did not receive a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So next time you go to your exam room and you're walking in the room and all this fear and anxiety comes, then you stop, you say, okay, whoa, this is not from God now. This thought that I'm experiencing is not from God. What must I do? Oh, I must take it captive. And then you say, I did not receive a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And then you go and then you get 100% for your exams. Yes. Yay. Happy. All right. Because, guys, if we do not address that thought or that suggestion of the enemy immediately, nay, then there's a consequence. We all know that there's consequences for our bad decisions and our bad choices. Nay, if your mother says, do not touch the hot plate, and what do? You touch the hot plate and then your fingers burn. That's a consequence of not listening to your mother. Nay. Now, in the same way, if we do not address these thoughts immediately, what happens is we entertain it, like I said, and after the entertaining comes sin. If I don't stop that entertaining, I will fall into that sin. Eh? And then after, the next step of sin is your conscience becomes soft. Eh? And then after that, you develop a hardened heart. You see the cycle that is running. And that's what the scripture speaks about there, where the high thing and the stronghold, because eventually then that thing will become a stronghold in your life. It will have a grip on your life. Okay. So that's why we have to act immediately. Okay. We have to stop immediately and say, Lord Jesus, come on. This is not from you. This lustful thought, this anger thought, this hatred thought, this whatever I want to burn down campus thought, it's not from God, okay? And we have to stop and take that thought captive. I've had this in my life. Who've heard about cycles of sin where you start and then it goes and, you know? I had that in my life, really. And that's why I was just lazy. If I look back at my life now, if I weren't so lazy just to take the thought captive every time it comes up to me, I would really be free long time ago already. Okay, guys, so this is very practical here tonight. We are really going to get practical because we want to walk on the water. Amen. So what I prayed and I said, Lord, show me, what does it mean, these arguments and this high thing and this stronghold? So the arguments is, I remember I said that becomes sin, ne? So arguments become sin. The high thing becomes like cycles where it's so difficult for you to break that. And eventually the stronghold is like addiction. You're addicted to pornography. You're addicted to drinking. You're addicted to whatever, stuff like that. Right. Are you still with me? Okay, are you excited? Woo! Hallelujah. But there's good news. Yay! There's always good news with Jesus. The good news is that Jesus has already broken all of those strongholds and all of those fears and all of those thoughts on the cross. I had a massive revelation this afternoon. Let me just see. Yeah. That the place where all of these thoughts went was on the cross of Jesus. And he had to overcome every single thought that we think, it's so big and look at this big thing in my life. He had to overcome it by his blood and by dying on the cross so that we now can have the victory over these thoughts and strongholds in our life. Amen. Isn't that good news? Because now, that's why Jesus said, all that you have to do is you have to take it captive under who? Under Jesus. Nay? We bring all that thoughts and all that lies of the enemy under Jesus. Because he already overcame it. He already, on the cross, he overcame it. Hallelujah, nay? That's great news. Okay. A while ago, also, I had this revelation also in Bible school. And it just struck me how stupid sometimes we can be, né? Because these days we know that South Africa isn't the safest place on earth, né? We have lots of gates and lots of doors and alarms. And when we go to bed, we make sure that all the... What do we do? We don't just go to bed. We make sure all the doors are locked. We make sure we put on the alarm and stuff like that. And then the Lord asked me, Jacobus, then why is it in your mind that you don't have any gates and any alarms and any dogs for the enemy? Just think about that for a bit, né? Practically, we are so on it. We are so up it when it comes to thieves in the natural. We lock our cars when we go to the shops. We do all the right things because we know we've been taught about it. But spiritually, in our mind, we are so weak for that. And then the enemy just comes in and out, in and out, in and out, because there's nothing that guards our minds. Nee? And what is that, the alarm that we can say, or the gate? It's the blood of Christ. It's the word of Christ. That is our God for our minds. The helmet of salvation. It's Jesus who guards our minds. But if we're not going to be vigilant, the enemy will come in and out, bringing these thoughts, bringing all these bad things in our life. And then we will see, then it's not nice. Our life is not nice then. Remember when the first thought that the enemy brings in your life when you get salvation and you give your life to Jesus and you go back to your room in rest, the first thought is, am I really now saved? Sure. That's already a suggestion from the enemy telling you that you're not really saved and what you've done that night isn't really from him. What must you do? You must bring the police in your mind up and say, that is not from God, because scripture says, for if I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. But we don't know the truth, né? So our policemen are a bit weak in our mind. Hallelujah. Okay, the second storm is the storm outside. Okay, everybody say outside. So what must we do with the storm inside our lives? We must take captive. Ne? Do you agree? Yes. Okay, the storm outside. Now we see, if we go back to the story of Jesus and the disciples, what happened? There were a massive storm, literally water and stuff were falling on them, and the boat was busy to break. Okay. If we look at this also a bit in this week, the people were burning fires and the police had to use the water cannons. It was quite cool to see that. So there was lots of disorder this week. Who agrees with me? Some medical students and some OTs were really upset because they couldn't write their exams, and lots of people were very confused and disorder. And so, what are we going to do? And you all know, like, OTs, they can't handle situations like this, ne? So they made a plan and they wrote in a church hall because they needed to write their exam. So they did. Great. We love the OTs. Amen. All right. So scripture says, now you can see this disciples, they are freaked out now. They are seeing big tsunamis coming into this boat and they don't know what to do, ne? And then they woke Jesus up. Because Jesus is the one that calms that storms in our life. Amen. Look here in Philippians 4. It says, be anxious for, everybody read with me, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this scripture is maybe one of the most favorite scriptures for me, because it's so clear. He says, don't be afraid of anything. Nee? Now, we are afraid of lots of stuff. Some of you are afraid of spiders. Who's afraid of spiders? Oh, a lot. Who's afraid of snakes? I'm afraid of padas. What is that? Frogs. Okay. Now the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. So the next time I'm going to see a frog, I'm going to take this thought of fear captive and I say, I am anxious for nothing and I will just pick up the frog. Because that's what scripture says. Okay. By prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. You see, the most important things that disciples did in that boat is they woke Jesus up. Everybody say, wake Jesus up. That's what we need to do. When we see outside, oh, Lord Jesus, the exams are coming. That's a storm for some of us in our life. We are so, lots of work that we have to study. Lots of work that we have to get through. All of these exams. That's a storm, eh? That's not going to be nice to do all that studying and to do all that work. So what does the scripture says? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So you see, okay, Lord, yes, there's the exam coming, eh, and all the stress is coming. But now already I start by praying and supplication. Supplication is making your request known to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you to help me with this and this and this. With thanksgiving. Start praising Jesus. Start praising Jesus in the storm. In while you're writing exam, in the middle of your exam, stop in the middle and shout, Hallelujah! Okay. And then everybody will, I don't know, don't do that. Maybe they'll chase you out. But before you go in and after you've written your exam, stop immediately and say, Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Take some oil. The other day at lunch, our church, I said, take some oil into your exam and anoint your papers before you write them. And pass it in like that. If you don't, can't take oil, just do some earwax and wax and then put some of your own oil on the paper. Guys, it's very practical. Jesus says just by prayer and supplication, start making your request known to God. Say, Lord, in my own strength, this thing is impossible. See, that's why the disciples woke Jesus. Because they know there's no way in heaven, I don't like in hell, that they will be able to stop this storm and to calm the storm. You see, we just need to reach out to Jesus. And some of us, we start reaching out to Jesus, but then we leave it because we say, oh no, Jesus isn't doing anything. But that's why the scripture says Jesus was in a deep sleep. They had to shake him. Sometimes we need to shake Jesus. We need to be so on our knees, so on our faces before him and say, Lord Jesus, there's no way I can do this. No way I can face this storm. Because if this storm's come in my life, I will surely die. But without you, and sometimes we have to shake Jesus until he wakes. We have to endure. We have to have perseverance. Say, Lord, I will not stop praying. I will not stop supplicating before you with thanksgiving until this storm ends. And when the storm ends, some of you are going through storms with your family. Some of you are going through storms in your business, wherever it may be. The Lord says, continue to wake up, Jesus. Continue. Don't stop. Don't stop until he stands up and says, be silent. Don't stop until he looks at that thing in your life, that struggle that you're going with, and say, be silent. Because we are so easy to just give up. We are so easy to say, Lord, I can't anymore and I'm just giving up. And all the guards just go in your mind and your heart and the enemy comes in your life. We have to continue. Say, Jesus, come on. Wake up. Wake up. Speak to the storm in my life. Some of you are going through very bad storms at the moment. And it feels like I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to continue anymore. Tonight I want to encourage you just to continue to wake up Jesus. Continue to be before him in prayer and say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you. I can't do this out of my own. And Jesus will. Immediately Jesus stood up, eh? And he just spoke with his word. You see, in the word is the word of God. we live. Scripture says we must eat the bread, ne, of God. We must live from the mouth of God. That's where we must live from. We must live from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's where we need to live from. I have to hurry. Finally, we see in the story, Jesus woke up and he just addressed the storm. I can just imagine it's like this Jesus with all this authority. He just spoke and everything was calm. Everything was in order. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Let's say that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, we read, we know this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." Ne? "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, Jesus is not the Prince of fear. He's not the Prince of disorder and chaos and confusion. But he's the Prince of Peace. And he wants to be that Prince in your life. He wants to be the Prince in South Africa. He wants to be the Prince in this world of peace. And we need to allow him. We say, "Yes, Jesus, we open up the gates. We open up South Africa for you to come and rule as the Prince of Peace in this country." That's why on Friday morning, we didn't say, "Lord, oh, please help us. Help us because everything is falling apart." No. We just declared who Jesus is. We declared who he is and who he is going to be and still going to be because he never changes. This stuff doesn't bother him. Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Prince of Peace. And he must stand up in our lives. We must allow him to stand up in our lives and to speak to the storms. Because he is the overcomer. And when Jesus speaks, everything listens. Everything bows to him. Amen. He's not the author of fear, confusion, or doubt. And you know what, guys? He has given us that same authority. He has given us that same authority to speak to the storms in our life, to speak to the difficult situations and circumstances and in our life. And we have to stand up today. We have to say, "Yes, Jesus, I'm going to stand up. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to speak silence to this disorder and this confusion or whatever it may be. I'm going to speak peace to it." We speak peace in Jesus' name. Scripture says when we go to a place and that people receive us, what comes? The peace of God comes onto that house. Where we go, we are the carriers of the kingdom of God. Ne? Each one of you are the carrier of the kingdom of God and the peace of God is in that kingdom. And where we go, we need to release peace. When it was this week, I spoke to some of you guys and I says, don't entertain this anxiety and freak out with all the rest. That's not who God made us to be. We have to stand up in the situations and in this disorder and speak peace to this and says, this will not bring also chaos and anxiety in my life because the Prince of Peace is on my throne in my life and he rules in my life. Okay. The last couple of scriptures before we end and pray, it's just, how do we get to the other side? How do we get through the storm? And without faith, it's impossible. Okay. We need to have faith in the name of Jesus and in the way Jesus speaks into our life. Ephesians 6 verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Ne? It's our armor. It's the faith that we need to have. When the enemy comes with that thought, you bring up the faith. You bring up the shield. And you say, "Ha!" Then he goes into the shield and not into your mind or into your heart. All the lies, all the accusations, all the false stuff that the enemy brings. You bring up that faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Faith in the fact that he has already overcome the enemy. Faith in the fact that he says we are more than conquerors. Scripture says we need to have faith in the word of God that says we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us the strength. Nothing can separate us from his love. We need to have faith in those words of God, guys. That brings us to the other side of the storm. If we, 1 John 5 verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith in the promises that God has spoken into our life. Our faith in every word that has come from Him. Our faith in the fact that what Jesus tells us in Scripture is true. Our faith in those prophecies that people have spoken over our life that is in alignment with the Word of God. That brings us through the storm. And some of us, we need our faith to be built up again tonight. Because we have lacked that. The last Scriptures tonight is okay. Now we've went through the whole thing. Now the storm inside, the storm outside, how we get to the other side, and now we're on the shore. Yoch, and we look back and we say, "Yes, I've did it. I've gone through the storm. Yay! Will the storms end then? No. Will there come another storms in our life? Yes. What does Scripture says? The last Scripture tonight. James 4 verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, it's again that place of the cross. Jesus always brings us back to the place of complete submission under him. The place of the cross, the place where Jesus died on the cross and all of heaven and all of earth, everything stood still in that moment when he gave his life. And all of us will bow before Jesus one day in heaven. And we will say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. If we are under divine submission under God, the enemy will flee from us. And how do we come into that place of complete submission? By being obedient. By being obedient, there's many stuff. Not having pride. Taking every thought captive. But Jesus can only take us further from the lost place of our obedience. He can't take us further if we weren't obedient in the previous things that he told us. Amen? Guys, God is calling us to a place of maturity in him. And I know some of you, all of this sounds, whoa. But some of you have been walking a long road now already with Christ. And we can't allow anymore that these small storms and these winds blow our lives over again and again. And we have to come stand up again, repent again, do all the things again. When are we going to come to that place where we obey Scripture and says, yes, Lord, I'm going to walk in the fullness. Because you have given me fullness. You have given me life and life in abundance. That's what Scripture says. But every time we entertain the thoughts of the enemy and every time we entertain the storms in our life, that life has, the devil steals that life. Amen? And we must say, Lord, no longer will I allow the enemy to steal from my life. I'm going to stand up tonight. I want us all to stand now. Just stand there, please, while the band comes up. We say, Lord Jesus, tonight we are standing up. We are standing up against the storms in our life. We are standing up against all the thoughts and the accusations of the enemy. And we proclaim the cross of Christ over every thought and over every accusation. No longer will we allow those thoughts. No longer will we allow the storms in our life to determine our happiness and our joy. Because Jesus has given us everything. He has given us everything in life. And we are the sons and daughters of God. And Scripture says we have overcome all of these things. But we have to start in our own life. You see, because what does these storms do? This storm comes and it steals our intimacy with Christ. because instead of running towards God, running towards His arms and running into Him and say, Lord, wake up, help me. We run away from Him. And we run into our sin and we run into all the bad things. Because we still believe sometimes that the world can satisfy us and the world can help us.